Welcome back to In the Corner with Zach. I am Zach Schellhammer of Vegas Born Real Estate Services and coach consultant here in Las Vegas. And I am with, introduce yourself.
Nikki Bott with Landmark Title.
The fabulous Nikki Bott.
Fabulous Landmark Title. And I am the event chairperson for the Las Vegas Alliance.
Las Vegas Alliance. Awesome. How are you today?
I am fabulous.
You find yourself in the corner.
It's very warm outside.
It is very warm.
We went from 90 degrees to 108.
Yes. I heard we're in a heat bubble or heat dome.
I don't like it.
I don't like the dome.
Yeah, I would rather be outside of the dome, but it's Vegas and we're used to it by now.
Yes, true. Because so, you've been here forever.
I have been here since 1993.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
You must like the desert.
You know, I moved around a lot as a kid and I kind of like home. Mm. I like having a home. Yep. And when you've been here since the 90s, you have seen so many changes that now you just kind of sit back and, you know, some of the changes I like, some of the changes, the growth, mm-hmm. absolutely, it's great for our economy. I don't yes. like the traffic. But it seems like we've never gotten the traffic situation and the construction situation figured out. It just seems like yesterday that they were building the 215, you know,
they
where
actually,
we know it now.
They actually were.
Yeah.
Because in comparison, that's why I love the history of Vegas, because literally compared to other cities, I mean, they built their infrastructure 30, 40, 60 years ago.
Right.
And literally, I got here in like 2002.
Okay.
And that's pretty much when they just kind of finished-ish most of this or some of this. But reading about the history is like prior to 2000, there was no 215. There was no like outer loop belt.
There wasn't. It was a two-lane road just to get to Green Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And where we live, there was nothing. Where we're at now, and the freeway ended at from the 93-95 in Henderson, it ended at the Lake Mead exit.
Oh, okay.
And you had to get off and then go drive down to Lake Mead and Boulder Highway to get to Boulder City. And you would just take Boulder Highway all the way down to Boulder City.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so different. That. So that's... there's a lot of conveniences, but I have definitely become desert acclimated. Mm. You know, I spent a good majority of my latter middle school and high school in Salt Lake City. Graduated from the only Catholic high school in Lake City, Judge Memorial. And so going from like a snow bunny to a desert rat, I didn't think, it took me a while to acclimate, but I'm definitely, you know, a Lake Mead girl, you know.
You're always on the lake.
You're always
like, you're
on
like
the lake.
Out. I don't go. I don't leave the house in the summer.
I do. I keep telling you to come over and use my pool.
Yes, true. I should.
So, yeah. But yeah, I try to always be outside at least for a little bit, you know, just because I like the heat until it starts to get too hot.
Yep.
And it does that here.
It does.
When the hair starts to flatten and the sweat, then you can't see out of your eyes because of the sweat.
And did you like it better in the 90s or now?
It
or
was different.
Not the right
like
question?
I don't know if anybody would remember the days of the Sharks Club and the Palladium and the Huntridge.
Mm-hmm.
And those were, I wasn't 21 yet, but you found ways to get into some of those nightlife. But I remember being at the same club that Tupac was at that same time.
Oh wow.
And like Hamburger Mary's, where we like to do a lot of our events, that was the nightclub that Tupac was shot outside.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of trivia. I had drinks with Vince Neil from Motley Crue one time. Like that was when Vegas was like he would spot a star, but now it's not as tight.
Right.
It's not as squishy.
Yes.
And there's the there's the day clubs and the nightclubs that now suddenly we're too old to, to be at those places. Right. Let's just face it.
Yes. And,
I mean, we'd like to be at those places, but we
just, might not look it.
Yeah. But, no, yeah. We just, we're old in our soul, but sure, not in our exterior.
Not in our exterior.
But you don't see that. You don't see Celine Dion bringing her kids to Chuck E. Cheese or Britney Spears out walking about.
Yeah.
So that, those were the kind of things that in the 90s and the early 2000s you would always hear about, right?
Really similar to the stories I hear is like it was just so easy to just hang out with all the stars and all the people.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some locals here. Wayne Newton, who's S. Rose. You know, I do.
Oh, there we go.
But, you know, we've got the, you know, Mike Tyson and
Carrot Top.
O.J. Simpson.
Rest
in peace. But
Carrot Top shopped at my grocery store where I lived.
Really?
Up there, yeah.
Yeah. And so you always and you always like have Flavor Flay.
Oh yeah.
You know, I found a couple. He and I shared the same divorce attorney.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit of trivia right there.
Very. A lot of trivia in this one.
But you've been here a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the kind of thing that I miss was that it used to be it's still a small town, but it used to really be like physically a small town.
Seriously.
But not so much anymore.
I'm glad we kind of kept, like, even though it keeps growing and growing, it's still the smallest city.
Yeah.
I feel.
It's just tough now because, like, yay, we got, you know, Allegiant and the Golden Knights. But
every stadium known to man now.
Right. And now those things just become more expensive and harder to get to for the locals. And concerts sell out quickly. And so that's kind of the downside of, you know, it's so much growth. But it's good for our industry.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. We're in the right industry for it, for the growth. Keep on coming in. You mentioned escrow.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you do.
I do escrow.
And what is that? For those listening that don't know.
It's really boring, but
well, we're going to make it sound really interesting.
Yeah, I'm the, I guess the best way to put it would I'm the gal that when you write up your offer and you bring it to me and we're going to check the title, which comes into the growth situation with Las Vegas, especially we've survived a major crash here. Specifically
very
in Las
major,
Vegas.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, we check the title, make sure there's nothing weird, nothing funky. The seller doesn't have any undisclosed liens, not because necessarily the seller would be shady, but
sometimes
because they don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't know things attached to
Fraud. Fraud happens.
Fraud.
Any sort of thing happens.
People don't pay their child support. That's all over, you know, everywhere, and those kind of liens attach. So we double check and make sure that those liens that attach to a home are, you know, coming with the buyer, and the buyer is not going to worry about somebody knocking on their door saying there's, you know, an easement right here, and we've got to dig up where you just put your pool.
Right.
So
it's a good point for title and escrow. You're like that safety net and that insurance. And literally, it is insurance at that point when you close. And it's called a clear title, so there's no clouds on the title.
Yep.
And that's really helpful. And everybody should be going through that process to make sure that the new owner has clear title.
And it's one of those things that you don't quite realize that you need until you need it.
Right.
You know, and so many times where we deliver bad news, you know, the seller, this is a rare circumstance, but the seller has a $350,000 lien that he may or may not be able to pay off with his proceeds. You know, a lot of people get angry with this, but it's like, that's what you came to us for,
exactly.
You know? Did you want to find this out?
Would you rather go ahead with that?
Right, you know, so, and then the escrow portion comes in where we take, we're the holder of the money, right?
We're the trusted third party.
Yep. We're the peacekeeper. We don't, we try not to take sides. Well, we don't take sides, but we want everybody to feel like we're on their side.
Right.
So, and we're the lender sends us their documents and we're just where everybody comes and they have this safe place to sign, deposit their money and know that they're, you know, money's not being, you know, misappropriated. Right. And then when everything's all cleared to go and all the monies are in, whether it be from the buyer or from the lender, then it's time to just shift the property into the buyer's name and let them go about their business and give the seller his big check.
Make it all happen.
Yep.
You've done that for quite a while.
Quite a long time.
You're a seasoned escrow officer.
I started when I was 10.
Yes.
But yeah, I was running a desk in 2004.
Oh, wow.
And I started in escrow in 2000.
Wow.
And I've been doing quite a bit.
It's a good thing.
It is.
You literally have seen it all, especially in this town, because as we were just saying, nothing really is.
I say less and less as years go by. Wow, this is the first I've ever seen that. But it does happen.
Yeah, well, sure. Every day in this industry. But,
right. And things shift. Mm-hmm. You know, we went through a boom in the early 2000s, and then we went through a crash, and we didn't know a crash was happening. Right. And then by the time we realized the crash was happening, then we went through the short sales and the foreclosures and some shadies. We had some slim shadies out there. and then here we are now. We're just sliding off another unprecedented boom that we didn't think we would see.
Right.
And then here we are just trying to, I guess, muddle our way and
get to the next thing, whatever that is.
This would take the next punch and see what. But no, I love what I do.
How did you get involved in that or like fell into that?
It was just one of those things where I graduated from UNLV and I had a blanket business degree with an emphasis in economics.
Oh, okay.
And unless you really pursue that or start pursuing while you're in school, I don't want to say any degree is useless, but I didn't walk into being a CEO at IBM.
Right.
So
right.
the best job that I could find was just a receptionist at Nevada Title, which no longer is around. All those small agencies have really they've kind of come to an end.
I think I closed my house with Nevada Title.
I was there for probably about 10, 12 years, and so the market shifts and, you know, we move around so much.
That was before we met, by the way.
Right. Absolutely. So here we are. Here we are now just trying to figure out our way.
You love it. It's what you do.
Let's be honest. It's just, what do you do now at this point? You know, I mean.
After 20 years. That's what I said about real estate. I'm here, so
teaching Zumba is not going to pay the bills.
That's right.
You
do teach Zumba.
I do.
She dances.
And I dance.
She's available for dance.
I am available for your parties, any special events. No, really, I'm not. Dance has always been a passion of mine.
Yes, that was the first one of the first times that I knew of you and knew you, mm-hmm. was seeing you dance on stage at Pride.
At Pride. We have a...
I took some amazing pictures.
You did. Yeah. You did. I still have them.
To this day, they still...
They're very professional looking. you couldn't get it. I mean, we looked good. Our hair was in motion and everything looked great. But yeah, we formed a group of Zumba instructors at the gym. During COVID, we all formed we call it a gang.
Yep.
It's a dance gang.
Love that kind of gang, yeah.
And legit. Yep. And so we kind of formulated our own little group just to kind of stay active and practice choreography and stuff like that, and make up our own kind of stuff. And one event came up, and it was for one of our instructors. He's very active in the LGBTQ community. And said, would you guys want to do one of our routines? And then it just became a thing. And, you and I both have gotten to know a lot of people in the Pride Committee. Yeah. And so it's just expanded from there. And it's just been a lot of fun.
It has.
And a lot of support. port, you know, and we're all kind of just our own little fan club, you know?
Supporting each other.
Yeah.
Like, you've been an amazing support in our community, in the Alliance. Thank you. As our event coordinator in the Alliance for what? 3 years?
Has it been 3 years?
This is like 3 years.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
This is probably, that's what's nice about doing this as long as we've been doing this, is it's time to, you've learned all you're going to learn in the industry, and your experience comes in, you mentor and coach. Right. And I kind of feel like I do the same just internally at work. And, but it's time to branch out. And I think a lot of our colleagues are branching out into different avenues within our real estate community. And when you and Scott approached me and said, would you like to be a part of this? I'm sure, this sounds cool and fun. And it just, I never really thought how exhilarating it would be, and to see how much we've grown and making a name for the Alliance and stuff. It's been really, I don't even want to say rewarding, because it doesn't even feel like charity. Because, you know,
having so much fun.
Right. Well, now, I mean, so many, and we've known so many members of our board, but I mean, these are all truly one of my closest group of friends, you know? And so there's nothing like spending your spare time and your free time. So we don't get paid for it.
Exactly.
You know, with a group of people that you love spending time with, you know,
absolutely.
And that support you, you know?
Yeah, well, you helped us come up with one of our main amazing events, the Vixer.
The Vixer.
And that has been now 2 years in the making and ongoing. So that is, like, amazing.
It's, if anybody hasn't been to the Alliance Vixer, it needs to be a must. It's the Valentine Mixer. And it has become our baby. And we have, that's really what we, I feel like, really what got us on our name on the map, you know, and everybody just has a blast at it. It's a lot of fun.
What is your, because you're an ally, as we call it in the LGBTQ plus.
I'm a certified ally.
Certified ally. Mm-hmm. So you're part of the plus sign.
Yes.
So what is your ties, other than the Zumba that kind of got you on stage there, but what are your ties to the community? Because I think you're very passionate about
to the LGBT?
Yeah.
Well, growing up, My mother was a hairdresser.
Oh, okay.
And so we're talking the late 80s, mid-late 80s, early 90s. And as a kid, you know, her best friends, just it just so happens to be a lot of, you know, LGBTQ members, specifically gay men, do hair. And they do fabulous,
very good job.
Fabulous hair. And so... just our, a lot of my parents were very social. They're a lot like me. They're always hosting parties and stuff like that at the house. And we had a big giant pool. And so we always had it never seemed weird or different or unusual to me that a good majority of the crowd, you know, 50 people there, almost more than half of them were gay men because they would bring their significant others.
Right.
And, so these were my mother's best friends, which they became close family friends. And you started to see just being out and about and at certain places, you would see just a lot of the, I don't like to use the word discrimination, but it's there and it's real and it exists.
Right.
And for seeing it through a child's eyes, it was really, and I've always been a fighter. I'm a, you know, anybody that knows me, you know, I'm mouthy. But it would make me so angry.
Right.
We're all being seated at a restaurant and there's whispers. Mm. And to watch our friends get up from tables and shift their seating so they didn't look like two gay men sitting because they didn't want to make us feel uncomfortable was just really disheartening. And, and I know everybody experiences this in whatever minority class, but just to see it, you just really want, I would just want to come out of my skin. And and even watching, you know, my own father, who was never, I don't want to use the word homophobic in a bad way, because it truly does mean they're afraid of what they don't know.
Because they didn't know.
And right. And, you know, a Navy vet, you know, there's certain stigmas, especially during that time frame. And to watch even him soften and then become angry and almost want to, you know, challenge people that were, you know, doing this to our close friends. And then time marches on, you start to see this and how the majority of their thick skin that they would develop, and how unfair that was to have to develop that thick skin because of the ignorance of others. And then during that time frame, unfortunately, was really when AIDS was just such a horrific virus,
adding another layer of nobody knows.
Then you've got the fear and just growing up during it. I think all of us that all of us Gen Xers have experienced where, you know, as through a child's mind, but are you allowed to touch somebody that's HIV positive or will you die this way? Going through all of those and watching the treatment of people, not the treatment of people that were affected with HIV or AIDS was horrific, but the treatment of that, the LGBTQ community, because that was tightly associated and it was this disease and you were gay, so you were going to get this disease if you shook somebody's hand or something. So watching all that and trying to combat that. And when I was growing up, it wasn't common to see. I grew up during the era of all my high school and junior high friends. They weren't out. They didn't come out until they were in their adult years, you know, just because of that fear. And so, and I think you've specifically said this phrase, as far as we come now, there's still so much more to go.
That's so true.
You know? So I think just that just kind of always tug on my my heartstrings, just, you know, nobody likes the underdog, and the fact that human people that have paid their taxes, paid their dues in life, have done everything, are treated like underdogs when all they're doing is just simply existing.
Being humans.
It's just, it's just really been, it's really just been something that has always just kind of stuck in my craw, you know.
And as a child growing up in that atmosphere, I mean, what an amazing opportunity in those years, because we did not, most people didn't have any friends, and that's really heartening to see that, like, your mother was totally accepting, father softened. That's really amazing. And that to, like, instill that in you to go forward.
Yeah, and it was, it's one of those things that you didn't quite realize until you are your own adult, and you're looking around going, oh, wait, okay, you know, this, I was kind of lucky in this sense. And so, you know, as much as we like to look back at our childhoods and say this was wrong, it is definitely one of the peaks, you know, and not the valleys of, you know, how I was raised. And then especially, you know, moving, like I said, I moved around a lot as a child, but spending a lot of time in Salt Lake City, Utah, which I love the state. I think it's great. It's probably one of the most beautiful places will be in the U.S., but it's not the most diverse, you know, diversity accepting, not so much, you know, but which is another thing I do love about Vegas.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. We are in our own bubble.
Yep.
Although I still feel it here, and that's about the so far to go. It's still, and we've said it on this show before to a few people, like the othering never stops.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I was grown to think we're just humans. That's just who we are.
Right.
We all have our things. And yet society just picks, like, once they were done with the gays, then they move on to trans, and then what's next? And they just keep picking the next other, and it drives me absolutely crazy.
Well, and especially now we're coming up in a political time. There's a lot of adversity right now, and if if we're not extending hands to others that have no intention to harm us, then we're really doomed as a society, you know? And we've got so much wrong with our country, and there's so much right. And if we don't start, you know, accepting the things that are okay, and because you're scared or because you, I don't ask anybody what they do in their bedroom.
Right.
So I don't expect anybody to ask me what I do in my bedroom. Right. I think we would all be a little shocked if that was free knowledge.
Exactly. For everybody.
So,
yes,
right.
Exactly.
So why anybody is judged over that is beyond me, you know?
Yep.
So, that's how I guess that's how the most adult way to look at it.
That's
now.
Very, I love that. And that is, and when you're scared of something, you should want to learn about it.
Right.
Like, that's my first reaction. It's like, why? Because I'm so uncomfortable with that feeling of fear, scared, and unknown.
100%. How many times did we Google coronavirus?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, to look at that Google search history on my phone is probably, you know, but we were all petrified over it. We were all putting our groceries outside for an hour and a half before you touched it. Like, all the, the measures that we came, like, swaying back and forth.
Exactly. But washing bananas.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful. Your cat can get coronavirus, you know? I mean, it was just really... But, and that is in, you know, that was in the 2020s,
right, yes,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
we've come so far, folks.
2024. Thank God we've got Google access pretty readily. But,
you're right.
And we're still, we're so far ahead of the curve, but we're look at where we're at with detection with HIV and AIDS and stuff. So,
and prevention also, the prep
so there's
and all
some
that.
Things
yes.
that we do need to clap and pat ourselves as a society on the back.
And amplify even further, because when I talk to people outside of the LGBTQ community about PrEP and PEP and the prevention that's available for AIDS and HIV, they don't know.
Yep.
Nobody's heard. And when I tell them, they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Right.
And we need more of that good news out 100%. There, because that is one major disease that we did do something about, and we have come light years ahead with that.
I mean, you look back and think, you know, in the 80s and 90s that you were doomed, you know, and watching, you know, celebrity, you know, Magic Johnson and stuff like that. And I was, you know, okay, right, writing it off. And then to see that, you know, I mean, you look back and, I mean, everybody loves Princess Diana and all the work that she's done, but that's just one thing that you really have to commend her on, because she really did, you know, trailblaze a huge path for us. So, that's my take on that.
Well, from someone who is as passionate as you are and a fighter, I'm glad that crossed your path to make you one of our fiercest fighters.
Yes.
Thank you.
Don't mess with me. Everybody that knows me knows that I've got, you know, my bark is always better than my bite. I'm mouthy, but a marshmallow inside.
Lastly, I should say, you're with Landmark Title. We didn't mention Landmark Title. Why Landmark Title?
Well, it's we're relatively new to the Valley, as you know, but we are in a assimilated group of very seasoned professionals, and our sales manager Michael England, our CEO Greg Hewlett,
also cool,
the coolest people that we know, but they really are the big reason why we're all here. So we just kind of this escrow unit, we're just a group of rock stars in the industry. Awesome. And yes, I am including myself in that.
But, why not?
But we do have some of the most seasoned escrow professionals. And during this time, when there was such, over the last 18 months, there was such a significant shift in in the market, you start to, and everybody's moving, right? Loan officers, everybody, because the structures change. For the escrow personnel, we get beat up a lot, right? Yeah. You know, yeah. when a
it's a tough
yeah when job. A when a real yeah. estate agent has to close 5 to 10 deals to make a great living, and a loan officer has closed, you know, 3 to 5 deals to make a great living, we have to close about 50 to 60.
Wow.
You know, and so it's turn and burn with us. That's very, very intense. We're dealing with a buyer, a seller, a real estate agent, a lender, the lender staff, the real estate agent staff, the transaction coordinator. I mean, we really just get hit at all ends.
All together.
Yeah, and if you really don't have a sense of knowing what you're doing and being able to turn, move, and get things scooted along quickly, concisely, that's just kind of where we all found ourselves, because they... Landmark have given us the tools to do it all. Awesome. And you know, you go somewhere as same with brokerages, or there's all the boxes, and as many boxes as you can get checked is really where you want to be.
Yep.
But all of us have almost every one of us have worked together before closely, friendship wise. We just all really just it's hands down probably the most as stress-free as an atmosphere as you can get it, but really just being able to have our own autonomy and be trusted that we know what we're doing and we've got the backing that we need, and now it's a great place. Check us out.
That's amazing. Absolutely.
We're getting ready to open our Henderson office.
Yay.
Location is not
TBD.
Completely determined, okay. But yes, I'm spearheading that effort, and I'm very excited about that, because it tells us that the market is definitely making its recovery, you know,
definitely.
Where we can maybe live amazing. And eat again.
Hey, that'd be amazing.
For me.
Yes. Where can people find you as far as get in touch with you?
Best way to hit me up, either Instagram, Nikki Not Bought, or you can find me on Facebook. Or you can always email me, and that's nbot, like my name, at landmarknv.com.
Literally the best name.
It really is.
Yes.
It really is. I just like it because my ex-husband hates the fact that I still use it. So
even better.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I love you. You're fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for being with us. Thank you. We didn't pay for that.
We didn't. Yes. We just gave it to each other.
Until next time, find out where I am in the corner next with Zach. Thank you. Bye.